Hi, I'm Matthew Kind. Every Monday, look for a fresh new episode where I'll take you behind the scenes and interview the insiders that are shaping the rapidly evolving cannabis industry. Learn more at cannainsider.com. That's CANNA insider.com. Now here's your program. We hear a lot about what is going on in the West Coast cannabis market, but what about the Midwest cannabis market? Here to tell us what business is like for a cannabis operator in Michigan is Tim Schuler of Detroit Edible Company and Cannalicious. Tim, welcome to Canna Insider.
Matt, thanks for having me today.
Give us a sense of geography. Where are you sitting today?
Ann Arbor, Michigan. We call it the cannabis capital of Michigan. They've been doing an annual hash bash for more than 50 years. And when adult use or recreational cannabis came to being a little over a year ago, the first provisioning centers were in Ann Arbor. And now we have over 220 here in Michigan.
Okay. And what is Detroit Edible and Cannalicious on a high level?
So Detroit Edible Company is truly an edible company. We make everything from fudge to brownies to chocolate bars, which we call Barracuda bars. And then we have honey, peanut butter, and then we have variants of gummies as well. We just launched our Guppy Gummies. That's a 5-to-1 THC to CBN line. And then Cannalicious is it's in a different location. It's actually in Pinconning, Michigan, which is up north. Here in Michigan, and it's a pure extractor and concentrate company. So we do everything from hydrocarbon to ethanol washing. And then we obviously make distillate after we do both of those processes.
Okay. And Tim, can you share a little bit about your background and journey and how you came to start these two companies and got in the cannabis space?
Well, do you have an hour? No, I'm kidding. It's an interesting story. I started my career through Anheuser-Busch and working for one of the largest brewers in the world, learned sales, marketing, and distribution, and worked for them for more than 15 years. And the last five of those years, I was the state sales director here in the state of Michigan. So it's a three-tier system. A brewer, then a wholesaler, and then a retailer. And we moved about 48 million cases of beer in Michigan on an annual basis. So that's, you know, kind of where I got or cut my teeth, at least in sales, marketing, and distribution. And then I launched into the supply chain here in Michigan about 3 years ago to start one of the first secure transport companies here. And along the way, I met my current partners and decided to get out of secure transport and jump into the processing game. And we launched Cannalicious about 2.5 years ago. And then Detroit Edible Company started about a year and a half ago. So we're progressing well as processors here in the state. And then we also have one retail location in Ann Arbor as well.
Okay. So you have two businesses then. You've got Cannalicious, the extraction and concentrate company, and Detroit Edibles company. So
that is correct. Yeah.
You know, we hear a ton, as I mentioned in the intro, about California, Oregon, Colorado, but we just don't hear that much about Michigan. It's just not talked about that much in the bigger markets. Can you just orient us in terms of what the background of the Michigan market's like in the past and what it's like today?
Sure. So about a little over 10 years ago, there was what was created the Caregiver Network here in the state of Michigan, which made it legal for an individual to grow up to 12 plants for himself, him or herself, and five other patients. And that individual, the caregiver, could supply those products, whether it be flower, pre-rolls, tinctures, edibles, whatever variant of cannabis that they could come up with. And along the way, through some various loopholes, various dispensaries started popping up across the state where caregivers could bring their overage to that dispensary, and then that dispensary would sell it to medical cardholders who didn't have a caregiver to go find. And the medical card holders grew to nearly 300,000 medical card holders here in the state. And it became a little unwieldy because caregivers were doing things a lot different across the state. And so the state enacted a new supply chain, which essentially meant growers, processors, a safety and compliance. They added a different wrinkle that most states don't have, and that's a secure transporter to move the product between the different entities. And then, of course, the provisioning centers. And that was implemented in late 2018 when it was all medical. And then the state voted by a margin of 58-42 to go adult use, and that started last January. So all of those various medical licenses had been applied for adult use. And we completed our first year in Michigan at 2020 and did almost $1 billion in retail sales.
Wow. Okay. So let's dig into your business a little bit. Cannalicious, the extraction and concentrates company, and then Detroit Edible Company, where you have one retail store and you also have all the edibles. How does the revenue break down between these two companies?
So it's about 53% on the edible side and 47% on the concentrate side to various stores. And it varies by month. And it also varies by area of, you know, preference. So we obviously distribute across the state, and that includes the UP. So there's over 325 different provisioning centers. So we have to call on each of them, and we deliver from each one of those two facilities on a daily basis.
Okay. And for people not familiar with the Midwest, the UP is the Upper Peninsula.
The Upper Peninsula, it's connected to both Wisconsin and Minnesota. And it's a vast amount of land. If you're in Detroit, you can get to Washington, D.C. quicker than you can leave the state of Michigan if you were to go all the way up to the UP across the Mackinac Bridge and then all the way to a place called Ironwood, which is where Coach Tom Izzo at Michigan State's from.
Okay. And what kind of extraction equipment do you use for your business? Just curious there.
Yeah, so we started with hydrocarbon. We extract with both a combination of propane and butane. And we use a XT70 made by ETS to do that. And then just recently, about 8-9 months ago, we purchased an ethanol skid, and we do ethanol washing. And then we take that ethanol product or byproduct and then run it through an HVE thin film separator to create distillate. So we're one of the largest producers of distillate in the state of Michigan, and do it for ourselves, as well as there's a few other growers that also have processing license but don't have the ability to extract. So we do some toll processing for them to get raw distillate for them.
And how do you arrive at what kind of extracts you want to make at Cannalicious?
I tell you what, we take the Amazon model from 20 years ago with Jeff Bezos, and that is that you have to change and adapt to what the marketplace may want or need. And we've always rooted ourselves with a product called Rick Simpson Oil. And we make the most RSO in the state and make a few different varieties of RSO. But as we look at live resin or shatter, darts, distillate carts, we try to round out a menu so that our customers are, you know, if they need a concentrate, we're kind of a one-stop shop for them. And as our inventory, we try to keep anywhere from a 4 to 6 week inventory amount on our shelves so that PCs know that they can come to us and kind of rely on a consistent product that's always there for them. And we just kind of build our inventory based on those levels of different products that are on the concentrate side of the business.
A lot of people are familiar with RSO or Rick Simpson oil, particularly if they know someone that's a medical patient using cannabis oil. But can you just go into what Rick Simpson oil is?
Sure. Rick Simpson oil is, he's a Canadian, so he's right across the border from us here in Michigan. And He discovered almost nearly 50 years ago that, you know, the cannabis plant has some ability to either stop or retard the growth of cancer cells in most people's bodies. And so he started an extraction process where you basically get to a crude and then you eliminate the fats and lipids. And the product itself is not a pretty looking product, but we put it in a 1 gram syringe and recommend to people to put about a rice sized droplet on a cracker or mix it with some peanut butter or whatever they want to do, because it's an ingestible concentrate that helps relieve a lot of different ailments. And it's not just cancer. We've had a lot of research that shows that it helps in the relief of pain. We've mixed it with some CBN, so you can take it and have a good effect to be able to sleep at night. So we call it a rest RSO. And then we've also flavored it with some natural terpenes, both cherry, grape, and lime. So that RSO, for those who haven't had it, it's not the most flavorable concentrate out there. So we tried to make it a little more appeasing to the palate.
That's great. I'm really happy to hear that you're making that for patients. And then we've talked about how you've picked extracts and you're kind of trying different things. Is it the same way then with the edibles company? Are you just trying different things? How do you think about that?
So we're Detroit Edible Company now, but it used to operate as Detroit Fudge Company and made the best fudge on the marketplace. Since we're going in a direction of having multiple different variants of edibles, we changed it to Detroit Edible Company, but we've always kind of rooted ourselves in having great fudge, great brownies that, you know, are nice and moist for the consumer. A fudge only has a lifespan of about three months of a shelf life after it leaves our facility. Brownies have 6 months, and then chocolate bars, honey, peanut butter, guppies, they all have, you know, 12 months. So we have to do a nice job of working with our retailers to not over order and make sure that they have plenty on hand, but not too many, because the last thing we want is any product going out of date.
Yeah, balancing act there. And what is the illegal market? What does the illegal market for cannabis look like in Michigan, or unregulated, as some say? How would you describe it?
Unfortunately, too big. You know, the caregiver model, lasted here for 8 or 9 years, and there's a lot of caregivers that grow a lot of great product out there. The way the rules are written, caregivers can still exist, so they can grow up to 72 plants. Because we're in a COVID situation, nobody's really monitoring how many plants that these individuals are actually growing. And then, you know, obviously their distribution chain is such that they have the ability to penetrate quite heavily. And whether it's 30, 40, or even 50% of the actual market, well, you know, there's really no way to tell. But we definitely know that it exists out there, because many of our retailers share with us what their customers are coming in saying that they can buy from various sources. And at one point there was 40,000 caregivers here in Michigan. It's now down to registered 30,000. So the caregiver network has the ability to grow up to 2.1 million plants. And the licensed market only has the ability to grow about 700,000.
Wow. Okay. So I'm interested in how you brand with the edibles. You seem to have chosen like a fish theme. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So, Michigan is surrounded by 4 of the 5 Great Lakes, and we pride ourselves on being a great state to be in enjoying water. So Barracuda is our chocolate bar. It comes in 2 different levels, 100 milligrams for adult use and 200 milligrams for medical use. And we want to pay attention to the microdosing market out there, because we believe there's a lot of canna curious that, you know, if they take too much at one point, it's like any other consumer product good. If somebody has a bad experience with that product, you may never get them to try it again. So we brought out a 10 milligram minnow bar, which minnow obviously is a lot smaller than a barracuda. and allows people to microdose 10 milligrams. And it comes in four distinct rectangles that they can break off. So they can get it down to 2.5 milligrams per dosing, which we think is a great thing for the consumers to, because we recommend start slow. And everybody has a different tolerance. Everybody has a different metabolism. So we want people to have a great experience with our products. And then we just launched our gummy line. And staying with that fish theme, we launched our gummies to be called Guppies. Close to a gummy, you know, sounding name, but we found some white space in terms of what we believe is a great seller in California, Oregon, Washington, and that is a THC to CBN combination. And there's so many of those can of Curious, or, you know, myself, I'm a 54-year-old male that has problems sleeping at night. I can take one of those 45 minutes to an hour and I'll sleep all night and fall asleep very easily. So it's better than taking a melatonin or diazepam or any other sleep aid, in my opinion.
Oh, is to take one of your gummies.
Exactly. Yep.
And how many milligrams is kind of your magic number?
I stay with 10. I don't need to go much further than that to fall asleep and have a very restful night of sleeping.
Wow. Okay. So with like 100 milligram bar, and I know like around 420, sometimes you see a 420 milligram chocolate bar. How do you orient someone that might not be, that might be new to cannabis, and, you know, and they're going to take this and like, oh, I eat the whole thing. Is there something on there that says like, hey, you might only want to like take a nibble of this to start out, or you're going to blast off to another planet?
So that's one of the things that the MRA, which is the Marijuana Regulatory Authority, has recommended and made sure that everybody follows. And that is a dosing amount on each package. So for the adult user, the most amount of milligrams we could put into a chocolate bar is 100. And then each serving size can be no more than 10. So we recommend to people that, you know, if you're gonna eat an entire chocolate bar, that's going to be the entire bar and it's 100 milligrams. But we put, all of our bars have lines like a mold that it comes out of. And so there's 20 triangles of 5 milligrams each. So they can literally, if they took half the bar, they would know they'd be getting 50 milligrams.
Okay. So you are going to start partnering with Ease, the delivery app for home delivery. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. We're really excited about Ease. Ease is obviously the leading home delivery company in California, potentially the largest retailer now in all of California through their home delivery depots. And they made a concerted effort to want to expand out of California. And they saw what was happening in Michigan in terms of, you know, $1 billion of retail sales. And so they've entered the market with us, and we're going to launch next week, Thursday, I believe it is, April 1st, to be the first depot delivering out of about a 45-mile radius of Ann Arbor. And we believe that, you know, home delivery is going to be here to stay. COVID's obviously accelerated that with DoorDash or Uber Eats or, you know, any other restaurant or any other delivery service that's out there. And what better way to allow people to, you know, bring things straight to their house to try. And cannabis and pizza has always been one of those, two of those things that have been home delivered. So we believe Ease is going to knock it out of the park here.
Okay. How many adults in Michigan are not card holders? I'm trying to get a sense of what the opportunity or the blue sky is for you going forward.
Sure. So the state of Michigan is about 10 million people, last census, which is a little over 10 million. There's 7 million of those are over 21, and there's 300,000 cardholders in the state of Michigan. And now you can be a cardholder and still be under 21, but most are over 21. So the blue sky of adult use, we believe, is somewhere between 6.7 and 6.8 million people. And another thing that's great for Michigan is Michigan is a tourism state. Like I said earlier, it's surrounded by four of the Great Lakes. and then has a number of different lakes, and tourism is one of the major industries here in Michigan. And we lost out on that all of last summer with COVID. So we believe there's still another level of consumption that will go on once people are vaccinated, COVID comes back down, and people now are more apt to travel, that our surrounding states, Indiana has zero cannabis sales. Ohio is medical only and a very difficult one at that. Illinois is adult use and medical, but again, their supply chain's not built out. And then Wisconsin is not either cannabis friendly. So, you know, you look at those five states surrounding us, that's about 46 million people that are within a 5 to 6 hour drive of the state of Michigan. So we think blue sky Michigan has a great opportunity yet.
Yeah, for international listeners or people who have just never been to the Midwest, it's hard to understand the vastness of how big the Great Lakes are. They're just absolutely enormous. I brought a friend over from Germany once, and he thought it was the ocean. Yeah, and I said, I thought you guys were supposed to be good at geography, like better than us. He goes, and I said, you're in the middle of the country here. And because it's so big, you can't see the other side. It's just absolute. I think it's a wonder of the world, actually, the Great Lakes. They're just so big.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And you can stand on pretty much any shoreline, whether it's up in Port Huron, up north on Lake Superior, or on the west side of state on Lake Michigan. On a rough day, you would think you're on the shores of the Pacific or Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. So one thing in talking with you that I was really interested in is that you use the B2B platform called LeafLink that's in the cannabis space, and you use it in kind of some interesting ways. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, LeafLink. So when we started this journey, you know, we have a lot of inventory, and how do you manage inventory and make sure that sales reps are not stepping on one another in terms of the amount of products that they have or sell on a basis? And so we went looking for one, and I had used Salesforce in the past, and Salesforce is a great tool, cloud-based, but extremely expensive. There's another one out there called Sugar. It's good, but, you know, again, pricey. And I was introduced to LeafLink as a CRM or a consumer relationship marketing tool. And we found it to be outstanding from a control of inventory. So PCs can go on at no charge, shop your menu as you keep it updated. And we put up great pictures, test results, case quantities, you know, all of those important things that a customer would need, and they can click and order. Well, as we learned and dealt with LeafLink, they're a great company. We have a great relationship with probably more than half of their 100 employees now. They wanted to bring to us some various tools. So they have My BI, which is My Business Insights. So we can have a nice deep dive into our own analytics of when people are ordering, what are they pairing with each order, things like that. And then they also have another platform called MarketScape. So everyone that's on the LeafLink platform here in Michigan, we can now run reports to say, okay, how much RSO are we selling compared to the market? What are our price points at? What is our competition basically doing? So that helped us from there. And then the other area that we always needed some help in is cannabis is a cash business. And they brought out LeafLink Financial. So we're their launch partner here in Michigan for it. And essentially what it does is it provides to the retailer not to have to pay on delivery. It's net 30 terms, and we don't have to deal in cash. And that's really important to us because, Matt, I don't know if you've ever tried to count $70,000 at one time. It's dirty, it takes long, and there's a lot of risk.
I can barely count my fingers, Tim.
Exactly. So if we can get out of that, we thought we'd have more time and more resources to put in other directions. So we're a big believer in that. Now we're in about 86% of all the provisioning centers here in the state of Michigan. And I want to say about 80% of those use LeafLink Financial, which makes it a whole lot easier on our controller to be able to monitor cash flow as well as understand, you know, he doesn't have to get his hands dirty or, you know, worry about safety. And then the third platform that they instituted was what's called LeafLink Logistics. And secure transport is one of the supply chain that we have to use here in the state of Michigan. And what they've done is they've simplified it down to where we can click on a delivery, put in the date, and they arrange all of the logistics to get it from our facility to a PC. And when I say PC, it's not politically correct. It's provision center. So we've again found them to be great partners. They're very knowledgeable about the industry itself. They help people understand how to, you know, use the power of terms to be able to buy, sell, and then be able to buy some more prior to that 30 days even running out. So they've been a great help to our industry here in Michigan.
Okay. And Tim, how do you see the cannabis market changing in Michigan in the next 3 to 5 years?
So right now, there's 1,450 some different cities and townships in Michigan. Only 400 of those have opted in to be to allow retail sales. So there's big hot pockets of where retailers are centered, whether it's Bay City or Lansing or Ann Arbor or Kalamazoo or Detroit, you know, all the way up to Traverse City, things like that. But we believe that, you know, as more cities understand the value of what cannabis can bring to the market and that it brings reputable people, jobs, and tax revenues, that, you know, we'll see as many liquor stores in the state of Michigan as we'll see cannabis stores. And we, as a manufacturer, have to be ready for that and be able to work with companies as they grow. There's not going to be, you know, urban centers with, you know, 100 stores. There's going to be a store, you know, in every different municipality. So we believe there's wide open growth there. Another level of adult use that's out there is called consumption lounges. And we believe that that's another foray for people to, instead of going to a club and, you know, dancing and buying alcohol, they're going to be able to go and enjoy cannabis, which again will provide another opportunity, whether that's through an edible line or a concentrate line for us.
Okay. Tim, I'd like to ask you a few personal development questions to help listeners get a better sense of who you are. With that, is there a book that's had a big impact on your life or way of thinking that you'd like to share?
Sure. I do love to read. Thomas Edison's biography is incredible. The preamble talks about how from the time he was 18 to the time he died, he averaged filing a patent every 6 days. And he, which is just incredible. And it was not, he just didn't invent the light bulb. He did so much with plants and, you know, he figured out how to make a synthetic rubber for the tire manufacturers. So he was very influential. Steve Jobs' autobiography was, and also another, you know, all encompassing how do you control where you're going in life? And then my very first autobiography I ever read was Lee Iacocca. Never knew it at the time that I'd be living in Detroit, but, what he did with the, Ford Mustang and then, latter day with, running Chrysler, the ability to lead and to adapt and change every day is so important for personal and obviously a company's development that you need to have a vision of where you want to go and how to get there, but also the fortitude to change when something's not going the way you want it to.
What do you think the most interesting thing going on in your field is besides what you're doing with Cannalicious and Detroit Edible Company?
I think it's the marketing of the cannabis itself. Obviously every one of us believes we're, you know, we have some idea of what and how to market things, but I believe cannabis, when you walk into a store, you're now competing with Heinz and Clorox and every other food product out there that's a consumer product good. So our packaging has to be spot on. It has to be consistent. It has to represent and speak to the consumer. And if individuals are wanting to find different niches of where to go, it's not always, how do I get in and run a grow facility? How do I process? but how do I market and or do public relations around the industry itself? Because much of it is currently ignored. We've talked to a couple different agencies here that don't even want to deal with cannabis right now because they're afraid they're going to upset other clients, right? But the individuals that kind of jump on and take this from, I equate it to similar to prohibition, that people are hesitant to do it to where it's going to be mainstream, is going to really help us grow as an industry. And then hopefully as our company, you know, rises along with the tide that comes with that.
Okay. And here's a Peter Thiel question for you. What is one thing, one thought you have that most people would disagree with you on?
In this particular industry, people disagree with me on moving to what I consider the 95s or the 45s. Most people that sold cannabis in the past sold it as zeros, so $15 grams or $40 eighths or a candy bar for $20. If we're going to truly elevate us, we need to be more aligned with other consumer product goods, and we need to price it at, you know, $14.95, $13.45, and be able to take price increases as we go. Because right now, the supply and demand makes pricing fluctuate so greatly that the consumer gets a little confused at, you know, one day I can buy a gram of live resin for $75 and the next day it's $35. And that doesn't make sense to the consumer.
Okay. Tim, as we close, can you tell listeners how they can find your business and connect with you? Your business is.
So Ease, obviously, if you're going to do a home delivery and you're going to be anywhere in the lower half of Michigan, which is where they're going to launch first, go to the Ease platform, which is www.ease.com. Secondly, we're big believers in Leafly. A lot of retailers push people toward weed maps, and it sounds, you know, weed maps. Oh, okay. How do I find my weed on a map, right? But Leafly does a much better job of educating the consumer, providing the exact same information of geo-targeting to the location where they're at to find the store that has their products that they're interested in. And we're listed on both Leafly and Ease to be able to, you know, help people find where their location. And then obviously we have our own website, which, you know, you can obviously go on it and it'll show you where our retailers are, as well as, you know, ask us where to find the closest retailer for them.
Okay. Well, Tim, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And good luck surviving the winter here as we turn into spring. You should be getting happier every day now.
Oh, spring has sprung. It was 70 degrees here yesterday in Michigan. So when it gets over that number, people start to move around a lot more.
Great. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks a lot for the interview, man.
If you enjoyed the show today, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever app you might be using to listen to the show. Every 5-star review helps us to bring the best guest to you. Learn more at cannainsider.com/iTunes. What are the 5 disruptive trends that will impact the cannabis industry in the next 5 years? Find out with your free report at cannainsider.com/trends. Have a suggestion for an awesome guest on Canna Insider? Simply send us an email at feedback@cannainsider.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please do not take any information from Canna Insider or its guests as medical advice. Contact your licensed physician before taking cannabis or using it for medical treatments. Promotional consideration may be provided by select guests, advertisers, or companies featured in Canna Insider. Lastly, the host or guests on Canna Insider may or may not invest in the companies or entrepreneurs profiled on the show. Please consult your licensed financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Final disclosure to see if you're still paying attention. This little whistle jingle you're listening to will get stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Thanks for listening, and look for another Canna Insider episode soon. Take care. Bye-bye.